Welcome to the recording of the January 25th Petaluma Healthcare District Board Meeting.
Are they making a decision that I should be aware of?
Waiting on confirmation. Thank you, everyone. We are heard. Let's
door. Okay. Welcome, everyone. We get to really the joy of having company. I'm sorry, some of these conditions, but we do like that you are here. So, who would like to read the mission?
The mission of the Petaluma Healthcare District is to improve the health and well-being of our community through leadership, advocacy, support, partnership, and education. Petaluma Healthcare District envisions a healthy community and equitable access to health and wellness services for all.
So, just to review the communication norms, all communications are to be accurate and brief. Board and staff, we actively listen and we respond honestly and respectfully. If our assumptions and apply these specifically to each board meeting, so you guys know that's our own standards that we work with. Okay, roll call.
Yes, sorry, just an order. Okay. Director Ford.
Present.
Director Apple.
Present.
Director Negri.
Present.
Director Nelson.
Here.
And Director Dumas.
Here.
CEO and Monte.
Here.
Also present. And Ben Spearing, the Community Health Program Manager. Here. All staff and board members are present.
Call for conflict. Calendar. The only thing we have on our consent calendar is the approval of the January 25th, 2023 regular board meeting agenda.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Public comments on non-agendized items. So, as you know, the healthcare is dealing with the hospital and that's on the agenda. So it's your non-agenda item.
We have Jane online, but I presume that's for agenda item, or parking at the item that's agenda.
Okay.
And we've had none for agenda item.
Okay, great. All right, our next agenda item then is the NorCal Health Connect notifications for simple purchase agreement with the intent to close the Family Birthing Center at Petaluma Valley Hospital. We are open to NorCal. Do court?
Oh, yeah, we did, but
we have a presentation first.
Okay.
So, hi, Larry. Welcome. I'm Ramona, CEO of Home Health. One of the presentations we have tonight is on the Petaluma Health Center. Very gracious in coming and joining us tonight, just to really give us an update on you know the services, monitoring of the health centers, you know, how the utilization of the health center patients at the hospital, and any information that you can share with us about anesthesia coverage.
Sure.
Like to share.
Yeah, and I think Kathy was going to make
Kathy
first, and then I was going to go over
okay,
the
perfect.
Data that I shared with you and some comments and suggestions.
Okay.
Sure.
Is Kathy online then?
Yes, our tech guy is in the gallery.
Great.
Yeah, we just have to make her panel first.
Just to kind of give you an overview, we're going to have a presentation from the Health Center, and then we have our consultants who are going to go over kind of the time frame of where we are and what the next steps are in the process since we've been notified by the province of their care process. So then there'll be opportunities.
Okay. Are you ready for me and can you hear me?
We can hear you, Kathy.
All right, great. So just a little intro that we've been talking about at the health center quite a bit is that one thing we really need is for the healthcare district and Providence to partner with each other and work together to ensure that hospital-based healthcare services for our community are available. What we're hoping that you really can recognize is that when PVH was sold, no one knew what the healthcare world would look like now, 2 years later, right? Our community has changed in so many ways. Hospital staffing has been ravaged, and the nurses are traveling, costing every hospital so much more than ever before. They're reducing their hours. They're leaving the profession. Physicians, advanced practice physicians, providers, and nurse midwives are retiring or reducing their hours. And as you all know, Leanne James retired earlier this year from our staff. The births have steadily declined in our county, like by over 25% since its high about 18 years ago, shortly before I came, which is a similar trend all over the country, and it follows what's happened in Europe and other countries for decades. So, you know, will this trend reverse itself? I don't know, but these trends need to be studied. Locally, several years of fires encouraged hundreds of healthcare providers and physicians to leave the area and really out of the state completely. We have never recovered. Additionally, another hospital in Santa Rosa expanded its birthing center, drawing more market share and providers. The economy, housing prices, and mortgage rates have pushed home ownership out of the reach for many birthing-aged residents, like both of my children. Please recognize that the world of obstetrics has been changing with slow, fast, and sometimes even devastating factors, all culminating in the situation we're in now. So we urge you to please study seriously all the factors that have been and are now impacting our community. We're hoping that you can really study them together, work together, not at each other's throats, not in opposition. If you don't, the entire community will suffer. We want to work with you together closely, if you are willing. We need that, and our community deserves to have systems that are reasonably safe to deliver babies. This requires a robust system of physicians and midwives available to deliver the babies safely, dependably, and having safe and available anesthesia services, well-trained and compassionate caregivers, safe facilities, and transportation services as necessary. It requires a robustly interdependent system, stronger than the one we currently have, that's been weakened by years of multiple factors. We believe that if you work in opposition and isolation, this will fail our community. Working together, we can find solutions. Our community deserves us to concert our efforts and provide it with the best healthcare possible. Together, we believe we can do this. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Nuree, Dr. Licht, our Chief Medical Officer, who is baby supporter extraordinaire.
So I don't know if you all had already a chance to look at the synopsis and overview that I gave you, but it's pretty well delineating the type of care that we've been providing to patients. I think I've already, I feel like 10 years ago I came and spoke with you, like it's kind of a little bit, right? It's like a deja vu. But you have a listing here of kind of the type of care that Petaluma Health Center provides, nearly 40,000 patients in Sonoma and Marin County across two large and eight small sites. Our mission is really about health equity and providing full scope services to the patients that we serve, many of whom might be uninsured or underinsured. That is really our focus and mission and has always been, continues to be. We actually have 50% of our patients who are primary Spanish speakers, and there's a much higher proportion in our prenatal care volume. In addition, you can see there how the payer mix plays out for our prenatal care patients. That's also in your summary. Our care model is very unique and very high quality. We have wonderful entry into prenatal care. We have wonderful outcomes for our moms and our babies, and we're supported by a really robust hospital that has a baby-friendly designation and is working in a very collaborative way to provide very high-quality care to a low-risk patient population. I think that just needs to be stated over and over again, because when we start thinking about gaps in coverage and safety, I think we just have to take a step back to remember that this is a really high quality center. And as birthing centers close across the state and across the country and get kind of absorbed into larger sites, we do lose some of that potential. We lose the local basis for our patients, and we lose that coming together of people with really high quality and missions to work together. I think we've been able to achieve that. The health center has moved over the years. I have moved to make sure that we can do whatever we can to provide service and call coverage for the hospital. So that includes that we employ one of the OBGYNs who is a backup. We have consulting hours for one of the OBGYNs. We have the third OBGYN on staff and consulting with us in the health center in the past. In addition to that, as the pediatricians have retired, we hired two pediatricians, and our family physicians, who are very well-trained and well-equipped, also serve in that pediatric call coverage. So we, at this point, are covering both the first call of delivering, as well as the pediatric call coverage, as well as a third of the OB call coverage. And we've been working with Providence closely as our partner to try to ensure that the other OBs get kind of the prevailing type of call wages that they deserve. So we're doing our most and our best to keep this service going for our patients, and recognizing that it is challenging for sure. Okay. You can see our birth volumes, our delivery statistics, which I can say can be Rebecca, who is on my right, as well as our demographics by residence location. There has been a shift that some of our patient demographic now living more in Bremer Park in Santa Rosa, where we used to have approximately 5 years ago, we had 40% of our patients from Petaluma, and that has declined to some extent. We have more patients that moved out of Petaluma and into Bremer Park. And I bring this up as a very important point, because affordable housing in Petaluma is something that I think is under your purview as a healthcare district. We know that housing is healthcare, and that affordable housing and being able to live in this wonderful community is really a great thing. So that would definitely help to support OB volume. And you can see that we have a largely Medi-Cal payer mix in OB. Okay, page two. And then page three was how PDH has supported our mission, really around the culture and locations and the culture and logistically appropriate care and services for our patients, and really working over time to ensure that that happens in the hospital, as well as with our providers. Obviously, the delineation of privileges has been very important to us. We have our midwives working in a full scope of practice, including newborn care. We have family physicians who are practicing almost to the height of their scope. There's one who could be even higher scope currently, and we're looking at how to accomplish that. And we have pediatricians and OBGYNs as well. quality of the care, fantastic quality. Our primary C-section rate is like incredible. And it's really just something to kind of take a look back of like, what are the things that are really important to us and important to us as a state? Those are state quality metrics that are followed in terms of primary C-section rate that some years have been at 11%. That's like super special. And finally, some of the other things that we have that are really special, the medical screening, examination by the nurses and nursing staff that is like beyond stellar, just so capable and wonderful, as well as the integrated burning room. So these are all the things that take care. So I was going to say my thoughts, and my colleagues have obviously played into this very much, but I think that, you know, we have a really high quality center. And it's actually not full to capacity. I do think that the OB service could deliver more. And we've been talking about this for years, and there's multiple elephants in the room around this conversation. So I'll just split it into the short and long term. I think short term, we really need to ensure prevailing wages for call backups to make sure that we can bring in people to just stabilize. So I don't know if, you know, that's for you to investigate and to work with the hospital. And maybe that needs some sort of collaborative arrangement with other partners to try to help to make sure that that can be done just to stabilize the system. But I do think it's very hard for a hospital to cover higher and higher wages when the volume of the center is low. And so that they get into a vicious cycle around. But longer term, sorry, my mask is finally getting to the end of ability. Longer term, I do think that we have to look at why people are not coming to deliver at Petaluma Valley. And the reason is because they're largely not getting prenatal care in this area with a large thriving practice aside from the health center. So we have a large thriving practice called Kaiser in this community. And they take all of their births, by and large, unless the person has to come in to a different hospital. So without having a true base, it's hard to look at what's going to happen long term as some of our OBs do get older and retire. So who is going to come in and serve that role? I think that there are likely other people with birth centers closing and other hospitals closing, there are likely other births in the county that we're just not even identifying right now. So I do think it takes kind of a more holistic look. It's possible to become a center of excellence around low-risk integrative type birthing. I mean, that's something that could be really looked at with other birthing centers closing. Maybe people really want to come here to deliver. We don't know that, right? But we do have to have kind of an infrastructure to support it. So long term, I think the story is really around volume. Short term, it's really around prevalence. Happy to take a question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you
This one is from Trish Wilson, CRNA. My name is Trish Wilson, and I've been a part of the group providing anesthesia care to Petaluma Valley Hospital for the past five years. I recently left due to extremely low pay, no change in 15 years, but have since expressed a desire to return if wages were even remotely competitive. This has been the main reason we have not been able to recruit. Now that there may be a more appropriate pay scale, we have accepted the low end of the market rates due to low volume. I have expressed that I would leave my current position to return to PVH. I also have several colleagues interested in signing on. To say that finding anesthesia coverage is impossible simply isn't true. There is a core group that has been providing care for years that is interested in continuing, as well as several viable recruits interested. I just wanted to make sure that you had the correct information before you make such a big decision involving so many people in this community. This one is from Karen Clark.
I'm Karen Clark.
You're here? Okay. So we'll wait, then we can have you in person. Okay. Laura Johnson. Okay. She is sending this. Please find a public comment below for tonight's meeting. I am sending on behalf of Felissa Hagens, Political Director, Service Employees, Employees International Union Local 49. We urge the board to hold Providence accountable to the promises they made to the Petaluma community. As we cautioned in our public comments to this body in July of 2020, Providence has a track record of making promises to the communities where they plan to expand, which too often go unfulfilled once the ink is dried. When voters went to the polls in November of 2020, they were voting on an agreement that would keep the Family Birthing Center open for at least 5 years. Providence needs to honor the commitments they made to the community. From Jessica Valeris. My name is Jessica Valeris, and I'd like to comment in regards to the closing of Petaluma Valley Hospital Birth Center. Writing this email makes me emotional, and I can't express how this situation saddens me. I have three children, and all three were born at Petaluma Valley Hospital with Leanne James and nurses Kristen, Denise, and Cindy. How could I forget their names? I could have delivered somewhere closer to my home, but I chose PVH. There are reasons why I chose Petaluma Valley Birthing Center, and I felt comfortable knowing that my baby will be with me at all times. I trust all the providers and love the fact of being in a baby-friendly hospital. I appreciate the support I've received from all staff. Please make the best decision, not just for the Petaluma community, but for all the rest of us. Thank you.
That's my note telling you how to do the order.
All clear. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, I know
the comments made by Ms. Driscoll at the community meeting were incorrect as follows. One, the CRNA group at PVH gave 90-day notice, not 60. Two, CRNA coverage at Petaluma Valley Hospital L&D was not spotty. The entire schedule was covered. Three, recruiting more CRNAs is possible if the pay would increase. The hourly pay was doubled, and the CRNAs who had left PVH were ready to return to L&D. Elaine Bromsky, CRNA retired. And so this is Jim here, and okay, so we've moved to, all right, so we've moved to public comments. You can either do it online, or you can either do it in person. Okay, why don't we start with online?
Absolutely. So when you are called upon, you'll have 3 minutes to speak. Those of you who are commenting online, you'll have 3 minutes to speak. And if you have anything in writing beyond what you are able to say in 3 minutes, you can submit it and it'll be put into the record. And that goes for folks that are speaking in person as well. So first we have Maureen Ringline. And then Jim.
Unmute.
Yeah.
Hi, so My name's Noreen Ringline. I'm a resident of Petaluma. I have three grown sons, but my sons are married and have wives of childbearing age. In Petaluma, there are 60,865 people. The population for females is 30,298. Most of those are in a childbearing age. Someone said the population was aging. The median age is actually about 42.8 for the entire male and female population. And most women are having babies these days, I would say, between the 27 to 37-year-old range. So it's critical that a local hospital have the ability to have a state-of-the-art birthing center. You're consigning women to putting themselves in danger. If they have to travel to the next available birthing center, that means driving on the freeway with a husband or a partner who may be panicked, who may be very concerned about the condition of that woman in the car, having some kind of emergency situation. And an emergency room is no place to deliver a baby. So this is just negating the danger and the necessity in any town that has 60,000, almost 70,000 people, having that ability to have a baby at the local hospital for whatever reason. Even if the family has Kaiser and has that ability to go somewhere else, there are times when they may need to go to Petaluma Valley Hospital. I'm sure you've encountered that before. So it just seems extremely short-sighted for Providence to be doing this. It's a disservice to this community, and I would really caution everyone in this room to realize the importance of this for mothers and babies and families. Most of about 68.24% of the dwellings in this community are family, and we know that, yes, it is really hard to buy a home as a young family, but they're doing it, or they're living in community. They're living with their parents and they're still having babies, and the parents are aging out. And then those young families are inheriting that home. So they are staying here and they're doing what they can to live with this in this community, despite the economics of owning a house. That's all. I just really encourage Providence and this board to not make this decision to take safe births away from the women and the families and their partners in this community. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next. Jim? Jimmy's got to get you. Make sure that you're unmuted.
Can you all hear me?
You can now. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, this is...
Reminder, we have 3 minutes.
Right. Hi, this is Jim Gorlick. It should be stated that Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital has their own OB crisis right now. Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital also has a shortage of OB providers, with actually only one practicing OB currently. And with overall total number of births having been declining, Santa Rosa Memorial needs to have a fully functioning OB unit to keep their trauma status. This is important for money purposes. If Providence rearranges their chess pieces, moving PVH OB patients and providers to Santa Rosa, the more important crisis for them is solved. That is a crisis that is based on the possibility of lost revenue, and instead of investing their monies and using their profits to better our community, they want to pull OB out of PVH. If this misguided plan is allowed to take place, the community of Petaluma and its surrounding area will lose their safe access to OB care, not to mention the plan will overload our already overloaded ED staff. It will be the people of Sonoma County that pay the price of this decision quite often with their lives. This is a clear example of a nonprofit corporation putting profits over patient safety and before honoring their commitment to this community. However, if Providence is open to working with the caregivers and providers, I believe you can see here just in tonight that a solution that benefits everyone is possible. I have a few questions that I'd like to read aloud, and a few of them have been submitted already to the board. One, has Providence included its staff, nurses, and doctors from both PVH and Memorial and the PHC in discussions on how to possibly problem solve staffing and retiring/retention issues? It is our understanding that it has not. These decisions have been made without very much input from staff at all. Two, please have Providence explain how reducing services, closing our OB department, and adding to our ED staffing woes will help make the Sonoma County community, of which it is a part of, stronger and healthier. Three, has Providence tried expanding OB services at PVH in order to attract all types of patients and staff? Four, In addition to expanding the obstetric services both at DVH and Santa Rosa, has Providence and the Petaluma Healthcare District Board considered any kind of a merge of services and the sharing of staff between both units, even temporarily? Seems having shared staff and resources would be a better option than the dangerous gap in services that would be created by closing the PVH OB. Easier and safer for staff to make the commute than an active labor or worse patient. The other questions that I had, I will submit, offline.
Thank you, Jim.
One more, Tyler K.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. My name's Tyler Kissinger, and I'm an organizing coordinator with the National Union of Healthcare Workers. I work with and organize and represent about 800 employees across Santa Rosa Memorial and Petaluma Valley Hospital, in addition to hundreds others at Queen of the Valley Medical Center in Napa and then up in Humboldt County. Where Providence took a really similar action at Redwood Memorial Hospital. So I want to just add a little bit of context and build on and support what Jim shared already. Back in 2020, Providence made a commitment to this community when they purchased the building, saying that they would maintain the Family Birthing Center for 5 years. And here we are, I think just about a little over 2 years later. And they're trying to walk back on that commitment, even though at the time they suggested they had no plans to close the Family Birthing Center and publicly said that they wanted to continue operating it, I think, for 100 years if they could. I want to be really clear about one thing, is that on the Providence side of things, this isn't a matter of resources. Providence has the resources to continue operating the Family Birthing Center. In the last year that there's publicly available information, the CEO of Providence was paid $11.5 million. In their last public report, Providence had $9.1 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars in unrestricted cash reserves and investments. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is that Providence, time and time again, is willing to put their profits and their desire to make profits over actually providing quality patient care. And that's the reason that people are leaving the profession and that it's hard for them to retain staff. It's actions like this that are burning people out and making them want to leave because it's getting them in the way of their ability to do the job that they signed up to do, which is take care of patients. Just today in the New York Times daily podcast, if anyone is a listener to that, Providence was featured in a story about trying to squeeze money out of poor patients who qualify for free care under Washington state law. I recommend anyone listening to that. It's freely available if you just look at the New York Times daily podcast. And so I just want to second, many of the questions that are being asked, the ones that Jim submitted, we'll be submitting some additional ones ourselves. And also really value everyone that's come together tonight, taking time out of their evening to come together to speak on these issues. I think we all support more access to healthcare, especially in this part of the county. And that's what we're going to continue to support. So appreciate everyone. That's all I've got.
Thank you.
Move into the folks that are here. Sherry Buddha.
If you don't mind, I'm not going to stand because I just had my knee replaced 3 weeks ago. I just, as a little bit of my background, I've been here at Petaluma for 2 years. I am an OB nurse. I've been doing OB for 27, eight of which was a manager, so I have a unique perspective on the manager and administrative side of this. And I'm going to share a letter. I know I'm going to be cut off, but I'm sharing as much as I can so I can get it submitted. The timeline I'm presenting in this letter covers more than the notification that we lose anesthesia services and the subsequent events. I will also outline an ongoing trend that includes a lack of communication between senior leadership and the unit staff and general sentiment that the unit would be closed at the five-year mark as evidenced by hospitals not replacing outdated essential equipment, a lack of dedication to recruiting demonstrated by not offering the same bonuses to OB positions as offered to other PBH units, and verbal statements by providers and senior leaders that we will likely not be open after the five-year mark from the original purchase. To me, it's abundantly clear that NorCal Health Connect always intended to close the OB department, and losing the current anesthesia contract served as the opportunity they were seeking. timeline of OB since anesthesia contract canceled. 11-22, written notification to PBH by current anesthesia group of their intent to cancel the anesthesia contract, effective 1-31-23. This was a total of 90 days notice, not 60 days, as Mistress Book stated in the meeting on January 18th. Once the unit became aware within days of the 11-2, the RN staff requested a meeting with Wendy Thomas, who's the PBH Director of Nursing, to be updated on the progress of the anesthesia contract. It took 2 weeks after this request was put forth, which was scheduled finally on 11-18. During that meeting, staff requested to be recorded, for nurse was unable to attend, and Wendy refused. Staff asked during the meeting about what would happen if the unit closed, and Wendy and Rachel Reeder stated that this was not on the table at this time, and that they felt confident there would be a solution. One option provided by Wendy as a safe option was to have anesthesia coverage only for cesarean sections and have OB providers trained to place intrathecal anesthesia as done in the past. This is not a safe option. Staff members requested weekly meetings to check in on the progress of the search for an anesthesia group, even if there was no progress, until a contract was ratified. Wendy agreed, but no further meetings were scheduled, and staff were informed by Wendy that there's nothing to update, so she wouldn't be scheduling a meeting despite her previous prompts for meetings. 12-15-22, meeting scheduled with Wendy and Tiffany Alexander, our unit assistant manager at that time. Staff were informed by Wendy that this meeting, that they were close to having the anesthesia contract in place with providers from the current anesthesia group. 12-16, the next day, a letter was submitted to the Petaluma Healthcare District Board stating NorCal Connect's intention to close the OB unit at Petaluma Valley Hospital. January 13th, staff meeting scheduled at 3:30 p.m. OB staff during this meeting were notified the unit would be closed in the next few months, timeline unknown. Staff were not informed that a letter of request to close the unit was submitted to Petaluma Healthcare District, but that the unit would be definitely closing in the next few months. Each RN on the unit was contacted by Wendy Thomas's administrative assistant to schedule a meeting with Wendy to discuss each RN's intent after they closed and if they wanted placement within PBH or Providence once the unit closes. January 13th, staff meeting scheduled.
They didn't go off, but
okay.
I apologize. Yeah.
I will submit everything as well as attachments of the letter that was sent to all of the staff regarding the closing, not potential closing, of the unit, as well as FAQs that they sent to our staff.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Lisa Portman-Fain.
My name is Lisa Portman-Fain, and I'm a nurse at the Family Birthing Center, and I'm also a lactation consultant and a baby-friendly coordinator at the hospital. I would like to know what it would look like to actually put resources into the Family Birth Center to make it thrive. What would be the result, and where would we be now? When I was hired at PBH 17 years ago, St. Joe's was contracting with the Petaluma Healthcare District to manage the hospital. I immediately understood that St. Joe's was looking into closing the unit. As Ramona said last week, it has been quite a while that OB has been on the chopping block, decades in fact. In other words, few to no resources were being brought to our unit. Our unit has been a model of scarcity for decades. When Providence bought PBH, we wondered what changes we would see. Would we be taken off the chopping block? Sadly, we were not. It has been hard for with our ever-revolving door of managers, our providers, and our nursing staff to get the updated equipment necessary for our unit. In this respect, I have always felt that we have never been a priority for those managing PBH. We are used to making do with the minimum and still managing to earn awards and be given special recognition. Just imagine what we could achieve if we had the support from our administration in growing OB. I would really like the opportunity to see what that would look like.
Thank you. Karen Park.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Karen Karp. I've been an RN since 1982 and a certified registered nurse anesthetist for 34 years. I've practiced at Petaluma Valley Hospital since 2007. During the previous meeting of the Petaluma Healthcare District Board of Directors on January 18th, false statements were made by the Providence Regional Chief Executive of Northern California, and I'd like to address them. Truth, our CRNA anesthesia group providing exclusive services for the Family Birth Center at Petaluma Valley Hospital, gave verbal notice of 100 days on September 22 and written notice of 90 days on October 2nd that we needed to let our contract expire for anesthesia services on January 31, 2023. Truth, the entire period of our anesthesia group services with Family Birth Center have always been completely covered. At no time has there ever been spotty services or spotty coverage. True, for years, our group has not been able to recruit new anesthesia personnel to relieve the single remaining full anesthesia provider in the group due to the salary being equivalent to only one-third or less of prevailing rates. At the last meeting of the Healthcare District Board, I described an article printed this month in MedPage Today. Its title is Maternity Services Cut Where They're Most Needed. Several states are now seeing maternity deserts where hospitals recently shuttered, where hospitals have recently shuttered obstetric services. The problems described are exactly the same we're facing here. Extremely low Medicaid reimbursement, staffing shortages, low birth rates. I am afraid that Petaluma Valley Hospital in our community will become a statistic of these times. Pregnant women in Petaluma deserve a facility with outstanding labor nurses who will provide top-notch inpatient maternity care without needing to travel a minimum of 18 miles away or have to rely on an emergency department that has no expertise in this specialty. Our community deserves the care of our rockstar family practice department that has wonderful physicians and nurses and midwives from Petaluma Health Clinic. Our community deserves a place where a laboring mother can receive high-quality anesthesia services for a trial of labor after C-section, or surgical sterilization for a safe abortion, or timely emergency services for an obstetric hemorrhage. Policy cannot solve this issue. Medi-Cal is unlikely to raise reimbursement rates, and the U.S. is extremely reluctant to adopt a single-payer system. What it's going to take is the commitment of a healthcare facility and their affiliated corporation to our community. This means designating the dollars where we want them to go and where we need the dollars to go, and we know those dollars exist. So I am passionately requesting that Petaluma Valley Hospital and Providence and the healthcare district keep the labor and delivery unit open at Petaluma Valley.
Last but not least, Denise Cobb.
Hi, that's me. My name is Denise Cobb. I've been a labor and delivery nurse at Petaluma Valley for 25 years. And last week I briefly talked about one of the patients we serve, which are patients that are driving to the Kaiser, Marin General, Memorial, or Sutter and have to stop at Petaluma Valley and deliver because they can't safely make it there. But I wanted to also talk about a few other kinds of patients. Kaiser runs a clinic in Petaluma that does prenatal care. And not infrequently we'll get a call that somebody's having bleeding or deceleration, and even Kaiser feels it's not safe to get her to Santa Rosa. She comes over via ambulance, and we meet them in the OR and do a crash C-section. We also currently frequently get Kaiser overflow. They sometimes call us every single shift for weeks, asking us to take laboring patients. Marin General or Marin and Sonoma County has a very high home birth population. And sometimes those women need to transport to the hospital. And if they're coming to the hospital, it's because they really need to be in the hospital, not just because they're in labor. And then I wanted to talk about a patient that came in a few years ago. She was camping with her family at 6 months pregnant, and her placenta began abrupting. She came in via ambulance. They were headed for Memorial, but she was hemodynamically unstable, and they didn't think she could make it there. She came into the ER with literally blood dropping off the sides of the gurney. About 2 minutes after she came in the ER, her 30-week baby was delivered, and she went straight to OR. It took three labor and delivery nurses, two pediatricians, two OBGYNs to save her and the baby's life. And that's not safer if we weren't there. The ER staff could have not handled both a very, very sick mother and a very, very sick premature baby. All right, that's it.
Okay, then that ends public comment. So we're going to move to board comment.
thank you, everybody, for coming. As you know, I mean, I agree with everything that was said here because it was my unit, and I can say that to everybody. It was my department for many years, and I appreciated, Denise, that you had commented about women giving birth at home, because several times when we were there, we saw that, and within a second sometimes, in order to save that woman and save that baby, and every time it was stellar. The staff was unbelievable and incredible. I remember one patient who had AIDS, and we didn't know she had AIDS at the time, and saving her and that baby was just, saving her and that baby was an unbelievable triumph for all of us, because we had not seen a mom with AIDS before, and we didn't even realize it was full-blown AIDS at the time. So obviously my heart is really geared toward this. I've seen many babies and moms just survive because we were there, and I'm frightened at the thought of not being there, knowing those people couldn't make it to any other place that they could try to get to. And I had talked last time about that one patient, same thing, the placenta abrupted, and we only had seconds. The baby was already in secondary apnea, which means we didn't know if we could save it, but we did. And again, that takes a staff that knows what they're doing, and it's not the emergency room. Everybody is up on all of the things they need to current on, and Helen is really good at that, and they practice that just in case something like this happens. So I honor you, I respect you all, and I'm very grateful to have the opportunity.
Yeah, if I'm too quiet, just give me a thumbs up or something like that. Okay.
I'll whack you.
You'll whack me. Okay, bruises. So I really wanted to kind of walk through everything here and deal with a lot of issues. We've had great input from all of you, the community, the people who are showing up, and learned a lot. But also came away with the sense of a unanimous opinion. There's really little bit, I don't hear that, any arguments to say this isn't an important service for our community. So I want to go through sort of a timeline and sort of the individual items that have been presented to us and sort of where, the way I think about that. So, as was stated, you'll know, on December 16th, we received a letter stating Providence or NorCal Health Connect, I'll just call it Providence because they don't have Health Connect, their intention to permanently close the Family Birthing Center. Those are the words that they used in that notification letter. And they cite a certain section in the purchase agreement, 11.3, you can see that from time to time being tossed around. Which is a process that we are undertaking here. That requires that they, and this is from their letter, that they submit the reasons for closure and that they give a proposed plan for maintaining the accessibility and availability of obstetric services for the residents served by the hospital. There's a little phrase that they left out. And that was in that second item in the contract. It also says they must include an analysis or report of the changes in viability that results in their proposal to terminate. And we have not received any such report. So what were the reasons for closure that they gave? They said OB anesthesia coverage, and we've been around this a lot. The letter states that they had a 60-day notice. And the CEO confirmed our last visit, 60-day notice. We're hearing that that's probably in dispute. But let's just say 60-day notice. That would put it in early December. And they gave us a notice of canceling, permanently canceling the program 2 weeks later. That's quite a short time to be able to have made a complete assessment of what they could have done. Keep their commitment and keep the center open, but somehow within 2 weeks they were able to come to the conclusion that there was no way they could do that. Um, When asked, what were the efforts made to try and get anesthesia coverage, because it was not a report, there was no analysis of this, provided, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Driscoll stated that they had contacted two of their existing providers. That's the extent of what they did. So once again, there was no analysis or report. The questions are obvious. Why did the current provider terminate the contract? With no information on that. Was it for financial reasons? Was it for whatever other reasons? When they were aware of the possibility the provider might not continue, what contingencies were explored? Again, no information. What attempts were made to retain the provider? No information. And were financial considerations involved? And once again, I'm just going to repeat, this is something that Ms. Driscoll specifically spoke to in the last meeting, saying that financial considerations did not influence their decision. Second point they have listed is low volume. And the letter states that low volume makes it difficult to recruit physicians and staff. However, delivery volumes have not changed, at least over the 4 years of data they've provided us with. And that includes 2 years before they decided to purchase the hospital. So this is no sudden realization or change that things are deteriorating to such extent. They knew exactly what they were getting into, and in fact have maintained that throughout the subsequent 2 years. Once again, no analysis provided about their recruiting efforts. What have they done to try and bring in staff? From our last meeting, we heard two physicians state that they came here specifically because they were able to practice at the Family Birthing Center. That's certainly an attraction for those two providers. And multiple caregivers, while they were in the room here and otherwise, who are so dedicated and just really want to stay or feel that they have access to people who would want to come, provided the right environment and circumstances were prevailing. I found this a very interesting little statistic. I like statistics, so I just did a calculation, and the delivery volumes at the PDH, Family Birthing Center, are twofold or 200% higher than the volumes at Santa Rosa on a per capita basis. Our community really needs and really values this service. We use it like on a per capita basis twice as much as Santa Rosa. It's been mentioned by Providence that low volumes would be a safety issue, but once again, we know that the volumes haven't changed and the safety and quality is excellent, has been excellent, they've maintained that level. And, of course, the Providence people acknowledge them. So then they were supposed to provide us with a plan to, what do we do from here? And, unfortunately, their plan consisted of a single sentence, and that was to consolidate PVOB services at Providence Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital and transfer stable, I added the accent to stable, patients to Santa Rosa for delivery. That's the plan. There have been no analysis as to the consequence or adequacy of that proposal. No evaluation, no risk assessment, nothing. There's been no assessment of the impact of the increased travel time. We've heard that brought up many times. And its adverse effect on outcomes. Again, no assessments have been done that I'm aware of, not presented to us. There's no assessment on the impact of disadvantaged patients or people who don't have access to easy transportation to get from that. Are we asking people to take the bus or the train or the God knows what to be able to go somewhere to get their babies delivered? As well as no assessment on the impact on the rural residents of the district. Again, they're already traveling a fair distance, and now we're extending that out even further. What's going to happen there? As just another point, and this is something that was important to us because we negotiated this sale with the very firm demand that PVH would be a secular institution.
is a house owned by a Catholic organization, directed, or Catholic directed, is the secular component of that. However, transferring these stable patients from PBH to Santa Rosa means they are now required to have to submit to the religious ERDs that are done at Santa Rosa. Again, no analysis of what to do with patients where that's objectional or where it doesn't fit in. Let's say they want a tubal ligation, now they have to have another procedure, the expense, et cetera, the risk, that has not been. And there's been no assessment or plan for any unexpected deliveries that show up at the hospital, either emergency, unstable, complicated. We've heard these stories of saves that have occurred, which are terrific. But there's no plan other than to utilize the ED. That, again, has not been submitted to us in any way. There's been no assessment as to how that would be done. Training, facilities, staffing, nothing. And certainly, it's raised as a potential safety problem, as have the other issues that I've just gone through. Longer time, et cetera. So all of these could have a potential impact, not just on the mothers and the babies, but on the ED itself. You're putting this additional burden on people who are already overburdened and asking them to do things that they're not very comfortable with, and then taking staff and having to assign them to these cases just seems to me to be waiting for a disaster. Unless it's really built into the program, I'm not sure how that works out. So I wanted to bring up one little, I'm not a lawyer, but there's a clause in the agreement that hasn't been brought up previously, and we've talked a lot about 11.3C, which is closing the family birthing center. But if you read 11.3B, it's the service lines that are required to be maintained for 20 years. Amongst those, number four is listed obstetrics and gynecology, as provided for in California Code, Title 22705-47. And I said, well, what is Title 22705-47, so I looked it up. And it's the provisions for perinatal units, what is required for them. So within the agreement, there is a provision for maintaining O&B, obstetric gynecology with perinatal unit, specifically called out for 20 years. And the question is closing the family birthing center, is their backup using the ED as their perinatal unit? And if so, it doesn't meet the qualifications that are laid out by the state. So it's a question out there. Again, I'm not a lawyer. They're going to probably argue that it doesn't count or something, but who the heck knows? I don't want to move on to the safety concern because this has all been couched in the terms of exclusivity. And as I said before, it's been acknowledged there are no current safety concerns. The Providence is more or less saying this could be safety concerns going forward because we can't do all this good stuff. But they've not provided any convincing information regarding past, current, or future strategies that might be used to improve the situation that they feel is difficult. They claim financial considerations are not part of their decision, but it appears from public comments that investments has been poor. They have not paid the staffs or the people that they want working there. It seems to be comparable wages. Again, we would ask them to provide us the information that shows that what it is. And what they haven't done is assess the safety, the negative safety impacts of what they're proposing. The effects on travel, disadvantaged population, use of the ED, overburdened. And again, when you're talking about low volume, you can imagine the providers in the ED, how many babies are they going to be delivering?
looking up in the book again, because I forgot what I did last time. So I want to talk about what I believe is sort of the crux of this issue is, what are the obligations of this here? They assume contractual obligations that require them to maintain the Family Birthing Center for a minimum of 5 years. As was noted before, they made statements that you know, their intention was to hopefully go forever. These were presented to the community when we came time to vote for accepting the sale of the. They made a commitment, and people based their votes on, in part, on the commitments that were made. And this is to Kathy's point. Unfortunately, I would love to work with them. Providence has made no effort to come and work with us in a collaborative method way where we can sit down and try and work out how can we make this work? What can we do to make it work? They basically came in saying, here's our letter, we're closing you down. And I'm still open to, and I'm sure the board is open to, any collaboration that would allow us to be able to provide the community with the services they deserve. So when they purchased the hospital, they not only bought a physical plan of hospital, they not only bought potential financial returns, which you better believe they did those numbers to look at, but they purchased an obligation to serve the community. That obligation came along with what everything they were buying. And they need to make every effort possible to maintain these highly valued services, whether they're profitable or not, because these are the commitments they've made to the community. Now, you could pick apart and get rid of all the non-profitable components of the hospital and stream it like, you know, any business. You just get rid of the divisions that aren't making money and you beef up the ones that are, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a community hospital that's part of the community, that importantly providing essential services to the community, and it's not just what's making money and what's not making money. So that just leaves me with one last thought. This is, has nothing to do with the issue at hand here, but if indeed low volumes or no profit or loss of a service here or there is sufficient after just a couple of weeks of evaluation to close down a service line, what other service lines are next? So I'll leave it there. Those are my thoughts. And thank you.
Dr. Tobias, Elise? Thank you. First of all, Dr. Tobias, what an amazing way to summarize kind of a whole process that we've gone through. To Kathy's point, we would love to work with NorCal Health Connect to try to figure out this solution. But to Jeffrey's point, we received a letter that said we're closing it. So that is not an opportunity to work together. And so if NorCal Health Connect would like to come and have that conversation with how we can support keeping the birthing center open, that's a great, we would welcome that, I think, as a board. I think it's important to highlight and re-recognize something that has been missed in this whole conversation. The reason our contract is with NorCal Health Connect is we wanted to be able to have a hospital that was able to provide, without ethical directives, women's health. And by closing down the birthing center, we are having the alternative go up to Memorial, we are at risk of being able to provide the very important women's health services, whether it be a tubal ligation after a C-section, whether it be access to birth control, that will be negatively impacted if we don't keep this birthing center open. NorCal set themselves up as a non-secular operator of this hospital, and this is key to all of us. You know, when we talk about our birthing age and who's using it, it's key to how we continue to thrive in our community, be able to make those decisions on our own and not have ethical reasons that a physician can't provide those. I want to echo what Dr. Tobias said. We've received no analysis. We've received no real data on why we were not able to keep it open. We just got that one-line document, and Providence and NorCal Health Connect are really forcing our hand on this. And sadly, because of the time constraint, our hands are going to get tied really quickly about moving forward. If NorCal Health Connect and Providence don't want to come to the table and have a real honest discussion about what the future of the birthing center and women's health in our community is. So with that, I mean, Jonathan or Jeffrey did an amazing job summarizing my notes are not as concise as his, but I just want to end on that. This is not just about moms and babies. This is about the future of women's health in our community.
Brian?
My perspective has not really changed very much from last week, and I will share with you that I sit on this board. I do not have a medical background, and so I have learned a lot from you all. I have learned a lot from this process, and I have a lot more to learn. And so I bet the way I process this a little bit probably seems rudimentary to you all, so I apologize for that. But I will share with you my unvarnished perspective on this, which is simply that the way I see it is I have not seen or read or heard anything to me that would validate or justify or meet the standard for breaking the five-year agreement. I sort of separate those things in my mind. When I read through the agreement and this service is called out specifically at 5 years, to me that is the minimum, and barring something that is unforeseen and absolutely like, you know, we, I don't know, a fire, we cannot do this. I am not qualified to sit in judgment of solving operational issues, but I feel like operational issues are not justification to asking to close that under 5 years. That's my perspective. What I have heard and learned through this process, however, is validated what I believe and from the beginning, which is this is just a critical and valued, important part of our community's health. And so I feel like we need to solve and move on from this five-year problem, keep the center open and solve that problem. And we need to now have active and ongoing dialogue, because now I fear for what's going to happen at year 5 years, day one. And so we need to have active partnership and collaboration on how we're going to solve the problems that have been limiting this stalling or stymieing this for so long. So that's the way I see it. I think of ideas for us as a board. You know, we get a regular update from Petaluma Valley Hospital. I would love to see this called out explicitly as a separate update item each month or each time. So we're seeing, you know, progress here. But in terms of the letter and the request to close prior to the five-year commitment, I don't feel that it's been justified from my own perspective. Thank you for me out.
I'll be the last one, and mine will be brief. I think everybody summed it up very well. And I just want to remind the question, as a pragmatic individual, that I asked her is, what can we do? If they're the ones saying this is closed, then all the dialogue dialogue doesn't help us any if we don't have the answers or even provided the opportunity to give those answers. And so let's drill down to what needs to be done and give us the opportunity to see if that can be done. And I don't think we're being afforded that at all. I feel like this entire process has been so disingenuous that it really goes to the core of who they are as human beings. Like, as an individual, how could you possibly have gone through this process, done all the contract negotiations, said all the things, and then knew? I absolutely do not believe at all they ever intended to keep it open. There is no possible way. You know, they're just making the excuses, and for them to say this is really powerful. It's not human. I mean, I don't know how this corporate greed has gotten in front of one of the most important services a hospital can provide, bringing life, healthy life to this community. It feels like a David and Goliath situation here. You know, what? Tell us what we can do, because we tell them as movers and shakers. We will make something happen, but we got to know what that is. That's missing. So I just end with, how can we trust anything they can say? But I want to bring it back to that question: what can be done? But they got to tell us. That's it for me.
Jonathan and Don.
Okay, so John.
Yes, Don is going to just share with the board kind of the process and where we are in the process and what to expect moving forward as far as the process.
Thank you. For everybody who needs to know, Don is the healthcare district's legal counsel, was side by side with us through the negotiation, probably knows the contract a little bit better than Ramona and I, but not much better, right, Don?
That's true.
Okay, why don't you go ahead, Don, and share with us the...
I'm sorry, I missed your intro. I was... you know, wrestling with my phone to get unmuted. So.
Oh, that's okay, Don. I just mentioned that you were going to share with the board the process, right? So where we started and where we are in the process, and some of the next steps that we may be taking in the process.
Sure. Thank you. As everybody has really mentioned already, this whole process has been dictated by what's in the asset purchase agreement. It's kind of the infamous section 11.3 now. It provides for the possibility of materially reducing or terminating a service, but it's clear from the language this is only supposed to occur with the approval of the district board by vote of the board of directors. The process gets started by NorCal making a request. And when it makes a request, it's supposed to give reasons why. And I think, as Jeffrey alluded to, it should have included, I think, more data than it really did in terms of just kind of cursory conclusions that anesthesia services were not going to be available. That's it. We intend to close. The process itself is then requires that there be a meet and confer between the district and NorCal within 30 days of their sending that letter out. They were not able to meet that 30-day requirement because Ms. Driscoll's schedule, I think, was so busy, given all of her different responsibilities, but the parties agreed that last week's meeting could serve as that meet and confer. For those who were not at that meeting, there was considerable public comment and thought and input and questions, but there hasn't really been significant information provided by NorCal about what they've tried to do, whether, in fact, they look to third party providers to be able to try and solve their problem, how far apart they may have been on dollars with the different existing providers. None of that information has been submitted. So there are a lot of questions that are being developed by both the board and the management consultants to try and go back to the to NorCal and say, well, wait a minute, we need a lot more information to figure out what's happening. There certainly has not been sufficient to make any kind of a decision, much less one to terminate services at the Family Birthing Center. When one looks at the process, we're really in the middle of it. We are now in a period where we are supposed to get back to them with questions, to NorCal with questions and objections. And then the process doesn't have a lot of specifics after that. But the reason for that is because NorCal isn't supposed to be able to do anything unless the district approves it. So one would think that if they are really interested in pursuing this and that they are going to acknowledge they can't do anything, it will be in their interest to continue to have a dialogue with the district and provide information so that the district is ultimately able to make whatever it believes the best decision is. So that's really where we are right now. The next step is the district getting back and providing, I think, questions and information and objections to NorCal. And I think we anticipate that will be done within the next week. Is there more, Ramona, that you wanted me to address?
No, I think the only thing to add is that Lorraine Driscoll has agreed, and she already has a calendar for their response to our questions at our next board meeting, which is in February. So our plan is we're going to be responding to Providence and submitting the questions that we need answers to, and then we'll be able to have a discussion. But the plan is a discussion in February. So it can either be in person, which is currently scheduled, or it doesn't have to be in person. But we hope to have some information by our board meeting.
So, John, I have some clarification or a question on clarification. Because of the process and the board meeting being in February, at this point they cannot change the current status of services being provided, correct?
They, Elise, it's a great question. They're not entitled to under the terms of the agreement. What we don't control is what we can't control is what happens if they don't make arrangement with locums or others to continue anesthesia services and have to summarily suspend operations. That is not something that we can control unless we were to think about trying to go to court to enforce that.
Thank you.
Brian was just asking if he can ask questions, but the board can ask questions to Don and Jonathan.
Not for Don.
No. Anybody else on the board have a question for him? Okay. Just maybe Jonathan asked, I see if Jonathan, our consultant, has anything to add.
Okay. Did you hear that, Jonathan? Do you have anything to add?
I did, and I don't think I have anything to add at this point. Further discussion in closed session.
I do think Brian has a question for you.
No.
All right, then I think that I appreciate that from both of you. I think we're going to move to the closed session. So that's our next thing. Thank you guys for all being here.
No, so I think we've got to announce what we're going into closed session for.
We are going on a conference with legal counsel and anticipated litigation, initiation of litigation pursuant to California Code 54956.9C, one case.
Thank you. So we're going to the conference room closed session.
So we're going to take a 10-minute break. So we can go at 7:29.
other work that you did in Jonathan.
Not in Jonathan.
Yeah, that's great.
You have different numbers.
Yes, the world can hear us. Yeah.
Oh, in here.
Correct. Yes, not there, in here.
Yes.
Yes, and we're not muted, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. We are recording.
We took the gavel again.
No. But I have already completed, so.
Wait, that was my first one then.
Okay.
His key is on his desk. Your key's on your desk.
Cool, okay.
Is she gonna have that?
Yeah, it's open still, so. Sorry, I did dress down, so it wasn't mine. A little too hot for the tie. Yeah.
Hey, Tucker. Real quick, so Tucker can go home.
Oh, please, so we can all go home. Not just for me.
Who's still on? Do we have any good?
We have Amelia and Noah Abrams. Amelia Pereira, presumably.
Okay.
I don't know, but presumably.
Okay, we're returning from closed session. So I would like to make a motion to accept the guidance from legal counsel. We have this written down for you, Tucker.
Okay.
Legal counsel to move forward.
Submitting
district's response to NorCal Health Connect in compliance with the asset purchase agreement.
Second.
Right.
We'll let you back roll.
Why don't you do a roll?
Absolutely. Director Dufour.
Yes.
Director Hipple.
Yes.
Director Negrin.
Yes.
Director Nelson.
Aye.
And Director Lyons.
Aye.
The aforestated motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Yeah, bang, yeah.
Meeting adjourned.
So, Chris, you know, whatever you say, I say. So, when they said present, you said to your
right. No,
I'll you said yes. He said,
I like that. Her handwriting's a little hard to read, but you'll be able to figure it out.
Now I know you're a baby.
For Avery.
Perfect. Thank you.
Her handwriting's
awesome. Is it?
Yeah.
It looks like scribbles.
I like it.
It's pretty
fancy. I normally have fancy handwriting, but it's just one.